Chase the bag, youngin', chase the bag. Against all odds, youngin', chase the bag. Even when the times is hard, youngin', chase the bag. You gotta stay up on your job, youngin', chase the bag. Go ahead and run that check up, youngin', chase the bag. Stun on all your exes, yeah, make them mad. Don't let them folk try to play who youngin', chase the bag. Let them haters be the haters, youngin', chase the bag.
Listen, I be running through the bag like a marathon. And you can pull up with the cash by the marathon. Sent the bitch with a slab and a carry-on. 95 mixed job with them berries on.
Yo, what up, though? This your boy DOC, and welcome to another episode of the Doc Hicks Podcast.
What up, though, people? It's Coop Farilla. Hit me up on Twitter at JCoop Farilla. That's JCoopFarilla.
And I gotta give a big shout out to Seven the General, artist from up out of Detroit. The song that was playing at the beginning was called Chase the Bag by Seven the General. So go ahead and look him up on IG or on YouTube, either or. Check out his music, show him some love, and go ahead and rate it. Let us know what's going on. And if you are an artist and you want to get your music played on this particular podcast, reach out to me at Doc Hicks TV on IG, Twitter, or whatever. Hit my DM.
But yeah, though, do you be up on like battle rap?
Yeah,
at all?
I'm up on battle rap. I don't follow it as much as I used to, but I know the key players in it.
Oh, okay, yeah, because they just had that Summer Impact. You know what I mean? They had a Summer Impact, which that was a card that I wanted to see, definitely with seeing Murder Mook after so long coming back on there. But I'm the same way as well with battle rap, because I remember the first time I ever even watched battle rap. I can't tell you the year or nothing, but if people listening to this are like super battle rap fans, they know this like a long time ago. It's like when Arsenal battle conceded. I don't even know what league they was on, and Marv 1 was battling A-Verb. And that was like the first time. Like, of course, in real life, I've seen like myself, which that's some shit I may sneak on niggas one day. You know what I mean? Drop some not like music, like an EP or nothing like that, but I do know how to rap. I just don't be doing it, you know what I mean? But that, like, seeing it on camera in that setting with different rounds and stuff like that, that was the first time I seen it. I'm like, damn, I don't know how I even ran across it on YouTube. It just ended up popping up and I watched it. So I started following it from that point. But like shortly after that, with the story I didn't already put out there before about how I started getting into blogging and making media and stuff like that, I started seeing the politics of battle rap. And even with the politics of battle rap, like up into some shit that happened yesterday, but with the footage dropping and some behind the scenes shit. But, you know, I'm pretty sure you up on what happened with Murder Mook and Briz and them, right? What was it? Murderland against who? What's the name of that team?
My bad.
Dark Side or something like
Dark
that.
Dark Life
or something like that. Yeah.
Dark Life.
The boys from, I think one from the Carolinas, other one from like Delaware, I think, or something like that. You know, Calico from Detroit and Murder Mook from Harlem. So, but this is the thing. I don't think a lot of people know what happened prior to even getting on the stage. Now, if you're not aware, and if you're hearing this for the first time, haven't seen it, which you got to be up under a rock if you haven't seen it. But so Murder Mook end up swinging on Briz during the battle. Now, I've seen, you know, Hollow the Don's response. I've seen Loaded Luck's response. But it's some key things as far as like before the battle, before they even got on stage. Like I've seen, I don't take a lot of credence, and it's not like, I'm not saying this in a good or bad way, you know what I mean, to disrespect other content creators, but like I form my own opinion off of my, like my own thoughts through my lens of life, you know what I'm saying? But I did see a lot of people complaining about the actual URL event. I don't, of course, I wasn't there and I didn't pay for the pay-per-view, but I heard things was behind schedule, which I do hear that sometimes that do happen at URL. I can't imagine, you know, putting together an event to say that it should work perfect all the time or not, but that was a complaint about that that I was hearing. But I will say this, that I ended up running across a dude. I heard about the fight. I go to YouTube. I search Murder Mook fight. I'm scrolling. You know what I mean? Like, damn, 40, 50 videos down. I ran across a video, like some behind the scenes footage. So I click on the video. It's about 15, 16 minutes worth of footage of before Calico and all them even went in the building. So if you subscribe to Doc's TV, you've seen I put up that video, but you may wonder why that video is down now. So in that video, Calico, I guess, I don't know if it's his cameraman or someone that he knows or whatever, they was filming some stuff, and him and they was out there talking to Beasley. Beasley like kind of up a little bit higher than them on standing on something, you know what I mean? But Beasley was fully aware that the camera was rolling because, you know, they was joking about something, and Calico ended up telling him, like, don't edit anything out. Beasley was joking with Calico, called him a scumbag. And one of my Calico homeboys named Mozzie, he also a rapper from Detroit, end up saying something to Beasley, like he said something to him to the fact of having police with him, or like, so I don't know if Beasley took that like, you think I wouldn't say what I'm saying right now if I didn't have the police with me, or I don't need the police, I don't know. But anywhere go, Beasley got a little amp and invited Mozzie to go around the corner to quote unquote talk to him, which we all know what that means in other terms. If a nigga, you arguing with a nigga, the nigga say to you, we can go around the corner and talk about it. So they was like, okay, cool. So that they got everybody. Keep in mind, it ain't just Calico, Mozzie, and Beasley. I can't think of the big the light-skinned tall chick with the hair. I can't think Nunu. It was like hella people out there, 50, 60 people out there. Now they not all engaged in this conversation, but it's tons of people out there because I guess they're waiting to go in to the building to battle, and I guess to be a part of the entourages that would be out there. So when that argument broke out, like T-Top end up leaning in, he's screaming at Calico trying to calm Beasley and the whole situation down. You just keep hearing Calico saying like, what is you doing, like come on y'all, like what is you doing, you know, like basically it ain't that serious. He know Mozzie, and I didn't even take what Mozzie said that serious. You know, kind of knowing a person from Detroit and just hearing the lingo, like what he said, I know he didn't mean it. It didn't seem like he meant what he said to Beasley in a disrespectful manner, but I can see in Beasley's shoes where he could have took it in a disrespectful manner, knowing that this is being recorded as well, because Calico said this footage is going to go into a documentary. So he probably don't want someone to say something slick to him and it's going to be in a documentary and then it come out and hella people see it. You see what I'm saying? And it look like someone kind of saying some slick shit to him. So like I say, you know, T-Top like, man, get your boy Mozzie. Y'all always doing it. I'm talking about all the way to the point where T-Top even screaming some shit like, y'all ain't the only ones out here with guns, bro. This and that. Like, see, this is the shit that trips. This is the shit that fucks me up. See, not even just about battle rap people in general, but it could be battle rappers or rappers and stuff like that. My thing is when people say that they come from a certain type of environment, there's gestures, there's words, you know, it's certain things that are like triggers that will automatically take something that could be on one level to another level. You know, they're just having a dispute and it was possibly could have been a fight. So it's like, it's no reason for you now to even start talking about guns. Now you automatically going to take people's minds to a whole nother level than people out there drinking, smoking, high drunk or whatever the case may be. People amped up, ready to fight. You hear someone screaming that shit out. That's you saying that almost like in a threatening way. So this happens prior to them even getting in the building to get on stage to even battle. Now, you know, twerking them had Beasley back because they ran up and was talking, you know, but from there, now as far as that footage, I seen the dude, he maybe had like 33 views on his video, his channel, you know, not getting no traffic at all. So I reached out to him like, hey, you know, I can help send some traffic to your shit, because you got some exclusive shit. You the cameraman, you got some exclusive shit. I got a platform, you know. I'm not going to use the whole 15 minutes of your video. I'm just going to use a couple minutes of your video. I'm going to wrap a commentary around it, and I'm going to make sure to say the name of your channel and tell people if they want to see the rest of this video to go to your channel. And I'm going to leave a link in the description and put a link in the, you know, in the comment section too. So I put the video up. I say it's now my video probably over 10,000, approaching 15,000 views. I go back, look at his channel. His shit probably like 2,000-3,000 views now. So it's sending traffic over there. Like all of a sudden I get a message from this nigga. He says, you can't use the video no more. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, for real? And it's not even that he just said that. It's more the point. It's more the point that he said, it's not too many times that I deal with other content creators on YouTube where it don't end up being a problem. It's like 7 to 8 times out of 10, if I try to do some business, collaborate, or do something, and I don't even reach out or try to attempt to with too many creators. I try to sit back and do a vetting system, watch their character for a long period of time to see if this person is a real individual or if they just a weirdo in real life. And damn it, every time I take the opportunity to try to do something with another content creator, it always be some bullshit behind it. So when he sent that text message, I'm like, keep in mind, I'm in the middle of an interview when he sends that text message. So I read it. I'm pissed. I'm like, what the fuck?
That's cold blooded, bro. And I ain't laughing at you. I'm laughing at the whole shit. You know how it is where we from. It ain't got nothing to do with you.
Yeah, that's right, just
the straight whole shit.
Yeah, just so I see the text. So I'm like, okay. So I wait till I'm done with the interview. And dude got my telephone number. He messages me on Instagram. So I text him back directly to his phone, which probably a text and an IG message probably ain't no difference to people nowadays. But to me, I'm like, I'm going to directly contact you. You know what I mean? To see what's going on. So I'm like, what up, though? What's good? What's going on? And his message he sends me back, he sends a message back as if like he don't know. Basically, Dan and verbatim what he said was like, I don't know if you used a clip out of my video, but if you did, it's going to get taken down for copyright infringement. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, nigga, what? I'm like, bro, nigga, we just had a discussion a few hours ago, like complete in detail, even to the point when I first reached out to you, you didn't even know what video I was talking about. So I had to be specific about the video I was talking about. You said, oh, okay, cool. Then when you like, what's your telephone number? Oh, you from the city too? Oh, okay, that's what's up. Cool. You know what I'm saying? And then you turn around. So now I'm looking at the way that you're wording what you're sending back. I'm like, I don't know if someone got on his head about the shit. You know what I mean? And he fronting to them like he don't know what's going on. That's why I messaged him back the way I did. So I'm like, because if he playing some game on his side, that whoever's around him will be able to see like, no, nigga, we had a direct conversation. But that's neither here nor there. You know what I mean? But that was just some whole ass shit. So I just sent them back LOL and took the video down because I don't have time to get a copyright strike on my page over some bullshit that's going on another nigga shit. And you know, and it's like, I don't know if niggas didn't think the shit was gonna blow up. It's like, I got 100,000 subscribers and this is a hot topic, so this shit is gonna blow up. But I'm also sending you traffic. I'm helping your brand, your name and your brand get noticed. This whole time I've been doing this shit, I have never had a platform that's bigger than mine reach out to me in any capacity like, hey doc, you know, hey, that's some breaking news. You know what I mean? I'm going to use your clip. Like, people will just take your shit. They'll take your clip, don't give you no credit for it, or you will know damn for sure that they don't know. It's been shit that had been sent to me directly from artists. That's why I tell people, I'll say about 90% of the information that come out, I don't care who it is. It could be Diamonds Live. It could be academics. 90% of the information that come out, people think that bloggers are just... Now, that other 10%, a lot of these bloggers are making some shit up. But 90% of this information that coming out and it be factual shit, it be coming directly from these artists. These artists will hit you up and tell you, like, hey, yeah, I just got arrested, or I just got out, or such and such just got arrested, and to send you, I'm talking about, it's a lot of, I'm telling you, dog, if the viewers really knew, I'm not going to put nobody out there, but if people really, really knew, y'all probably would look at some of y'all favorite artists different, like, damn, these niggas really be doing this shit behind the scenes. They be doing that. That's how we be getting the information. Say, for instance, they beefing with another rapper. Just say Joe beefing with John, and John get locked up. Joe gonna send the blogs like, hey, you know, what's his name just got locked up. He locked up in this city, this and that, blah, blah, blah. So now you can call or Google it, get his mug shot. Like, they do that. That's how this how all this information be coming out for the ones that do put out factual shit. This don't be, especially for me, that's why I wait on stuff to make sure it's factual. But that's how a lot of that information come in. But So now you got Murder Mook. So keep in mind, so this all happening outside of the event. People drinking, smoking, drunk. All this happened. Then they got to come in and battle. So the question is, I'm going to ask you first before I say anything. But the question is, do you feel that Murder Mook was wrong in the situation for what he did for swinging on Briz? Or do you feel like it's a wrong in between both of them? Because come to find out, Murder Mook mom really just passed away 2-3 months ago. And from what I'm hearing is Briz and what's his name is fully aware that his mother just died. So they put a line inside of their battle saying, fuck your mom. And then you know how sometimes the crowd and shit like, bring it back, say it again. So then they bring it back and say it again and say, fuck your mom. You know, and they know that this nigga mom's, rest in peace. I don't know him from a can of paint, but rest in peace. My condolences. So, but my thing is, if you was in those shoes and your mother just passed away, even though now you a battle rapper, do you feel like Murder Mook was out of line for what he did with everything that was going on?
Well, as far as the battle rap is concerned, I saw the video and, I knew that it was a delay on everything too. Not only what happened prior to the battle, it was a delay on the pay-per-view. I could have watched it, but since it was a delay, I just gave up. It wasn't anything that I wanted to watch after the delay. So, like you said, you got people out there aggy and acting all crazy. I think it was just unprofessional in totality. I was always eerie about everybody being on the crowd being on stage, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason to have all those people on stage, and you got people in the background waiting to make a name for themselves. So, you know, I don't think that I would be, even if I knew who Mook was, I wouldn't want to be on stage with him. And I think both, it was just unprofessional in general.
What you mean? What you mean by you wouldn't want to be on stage? What you mean by that?
So, you know, you got all these people on stage, and it's just, if you're not performing, there's really no reason for you to be on stage. You know what I mean? Things like that could happen. You got people on standby, goons on standby, so to speak, ready to go, and it's just crowded up there.
Now, you know, the initial punch swing, the confrontation started directly between Briz and Mook. So that's why I'm asking, like, in that moment right there, now Murder Mook and them waited until, you know, because it would have been, I ain't going to say it would have been any different if he would have swung on Briz. Like, I'm just putting myself in the mental space of, like, I still have both of my parents, you know what I'm saying? And don't nobody out here in this world have a perfect relationship with their parents, but at the end of the day, everybody love their parents. Now, his mother just passed 2-3 months ago. Now, I'm putting myself in the shoes of that individual. Regardless, like, yeah, I don't agree. That's one thing to me that is something that not just URL, but battle rap leagues need to have a minimum. you know, if it's not just the artist. I understand they may not want because they're trying to give it that old school grimy feel like back in the day when battle rap first started. That's a part of the reason why they do that, by having people up there so it can have that feel. But it also brings a sense of, you know, some, it brings a lot with it as well. Like you said, you got, you know, you got influencers. You may have a nigga that really about that shit or whatever the case up there. That's helping gas up the artist, whatever, whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. I'm not agreeing with it, but at the same time, I think it needs to be a limit to the people up there. And I also think, like, you know, we see them up in each other's faces. This is battle rap. So my thing is, they supposed to be professionals. So, okay, this is a part of the job. People, Arsenal is one of the most disrespectful motherfuckers that you could run across, you know, in the rap game. I didn't hear people say some of the craziest shit. Like, even T-Top had to come back and publicly apologize. And that, see, this is where my, I'm not going to say confliction, but this is where the ultimate disrespect comes in. Because T-Top, I remember a while back, he said a line about Kanika Jenkins, the girl from Chicago that got found in the freezer at the hotel. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He had to come back and apologize about that line because... So my thing is, if you had to apologize about that line, and that's someone that you don't even know from a can of paint that passed away, and you apologize about that, when y'all was putting y'all skit or whatever together... Y'all are aware. From what I'm hearing, they are aware. And when I went and looked at Murder Mook page, I think he got pictures related to his mom's death or funeral or whatever, condolences type things, like 2 or 3 posts ago. It's at the top where, you know what I'm saying? Like, people within the hip hop community, battle rap community, know his mother just passed. You know what I'm saying? So when y'all putting together that skit, if you would apologize for the Kanika Jenkins situation, is it, you can't come up with enough good enough witty material where you got to go that route to try to get a reaction out of the fans by saying fuck a nigga mother and you know that she just passed away? And in my mind, I'm looking at it like, if it's battle rap or not, I feel as men, when you do and say certain things in this world, you got to be willing to stand on whatever you say. Now, that's right. I'm not saying that's the right setting, but I'm going off the principles as a man. When you do and say certain shit, you got to be willing to stand on it and understand when, battle rap or not, you cross certain lines, it could be repercussions to it. And that's why I'm like, them dudes supposed to be T-topping them. You could be a little, because Briz said the line, but I can't go past the point of, now when Murder Mook and them rapping, Briz all walking in between them, doing a whole bunch of extra shit. It was a lot of agitations and stuff there. You know what I mean? I see why it happened. I wish that it didn't happen, because it don't just affect that moment. It don't just affect the people that paid for the pay-per-view and paid to come out. It affects the culture as a whole. You know what I mean? Because that happens. You got the liability of the facility that you in, the building that you in, where they may not want you to come back. We seen before, like with the situation that happened at Irving Plaza. Irving Plaza I don't even know, I'm not from New York, but they damn near didn't even want to have no more rappers in there after that. You know what I mean? Or other places may find out about it. And if your league constantly keeps having these type of situations that happen, Who's going to want to bring y'all in there if they like, okay, you may come in here and fight and break and tear some shit up. You know what I'm saying? All that stuff. But it's like putting myself rationally in them shoes. Like, come on, bro. Like, I don't know. That's just a weird situation to be in. I can't give a perfect answer to say, if I was in that moment myself in Murder Mook's shoes and my mother just passed away and someone said that, then doubled back and said it, then we already got into it outside. We already got into it outside, basically. Come inside, then that line, you drop it, then double back, and then I let you fully rap. Why are you saying? You saying the most disrespectful shit you can say. I still let you fully rap. Don't touch you. I didn't do anything. Then now when we rapping, now you still being extra. You doing more disrespectful shit. It's like, when did the line? Is that should be on the league, where the league should peep certain shit? Like, is that Smack or Nunu, whoever else up there to be like, hey man, calm down. Tell Briz or people, someone acting like Briz in that moment, like chill. Let them do what they do. I think it got to be some more refereeing type situation going on, because I can see why that happened. I'm not agreeing with it, but I can see why that situation went there, because Breeze was just doing way too much in that moment after the fact with everything else that led up to that point.
I agree with that. And mind you, you know, everybody wants to get the awe factor and the shock factor through the crowd, and that's how they win. That's how they get their bag. That's how they get the notch and bragging rights. However, let's not get it twisted. I am fully aware of the battle rap scene and how it goes. And you know, like you said, they want it to be like the original, have everybody in there close and people in people faces and bringing the theatrics along with it. But again, it should be something regulating that, because things like this happen, and it's been happening frequently. And that's one of the reasons why I stopped messing with it, because it's like you see these rappers, these battle rappers, and they have great potential, but a fight is basically a disqualification. You're not going to get no bag. We don't know when we're going to see you again. Is it worth seeing you again? It's so many questions, you know, and it's messed up in its entirety. But at the same time, going back to whether who was right or wrong, I think it was unfortunate. But again, I don't feel as though that I would know what to do at that time either, because you got a bunch of emotion. You still got to work and be in the public as a public figure, as a battle rapper, knowing you took a loss. You know what I mean? A major loss. So that's a different type of feeling. That's a different type of time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I say, I don't know. You know, all I can say is, you know, and I've never been the type of person throughout any of my platforms to try to, but you know, promote violence and stuff like that. But I'm just being realistic. If I'm being realistic and being just 100% real, If I was Mook in those shoes at that moment, if I was able to, because it's times in this world, in this life as a man, and some people may have been in situations like this before and may have not been in situations. I've been in situations inside of a club and some shit popping off, you know what I mean, and swung on a nigga before I even noticed that I swung on a nigga. You know what I'm saying? Because the shit didn't just got to that point, and you just get into, you gotta protect yourself mode. Like, you don't, I'm not, I always was raised, like, I was raised not to, like, be no bully or start no shit, but you never let a nigga hit you first, because that first blow could fuck around and be the one that determines the whole fucking fight. So if you know, because that's what I said, it's certain triggers and it's certain things where you already know if it's gonna go there or not. Not talking about in Murder Mook in them case, I'm talking about just in general. If I was in that moment and I was able to control my emotions, that's something you handle after the fact. Let a nigga know, like, hey bro, you know, and I'm not even saying like let him know after the fact. Talking, like, if you get to that point where you know and you can still try to keep your professionalism to make the event happen because it's bigger than you in that moment, I wouldn't be mad if I would have heard after the fact, oh, Murder Mook and, you know, beat Briz's ass or something. I wouldn't have been mad about that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, hey,
yeah,
I would have been like, yeah, you know, I can respect that. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to be able to stand on your words. And that's what, like, when Tay Rock, I didn't even say, like, when they was getting into it outside of the shit, Tay Rock didn't even have nothing to do with it. Yeah, he just swung on a nigga that's a commentator or a blogger or something. And all I'm saying to the blog community, because I'm gonna come up with, I've been seeing this little badge that some of the battle rap commentaries been putting up on their pages. It's some like battle rap commentary or United or something. I do have something called UBM. You know, I'm not gonna put out what the UBM stands for, but because the people that's involved in it, that's how we will know who really in it and not. It ain't no gang. It's just a unity amongst different content creators that have the understanding that we not into the bullshit. We not on that, I'm trying to tear you down. We trying to get you out the way. We salute what you got going on that type of time. But in that moment, I just really, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So I don't know if Tay Rock feel like since he done swung on some a blogger and did that, that now that got his rep up. But he was all out there screaming and shit like, they already getting into it. It's 50, 60 niggas, and Tay Rock don't have shit to do with it. He walk up in the crowd talking about, anybody touch me, they get shot right here. Like, nigga, if you don't sit your big-headed ass down, like, someone need to wax that nigga. Not whack him. Not whack. You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about whack. Sometimes people need to get humble. I don't think, sometimes in life, especially if motherfuckers walk, I think that image that get painted because of these raps, regardless if they battle rappers or not, sometimes people got to get humble in this world. You know what I mean? If a motherfucker ain't never took a loss in their life, you know what I mean? Then they'll walk around this bitch thinking that they Superman and that they can't get touched because everybody got guns. But that was the thing I didn't even like when T-Top brought that out there. Talking about, you know, Cal, you ain't the only one that got guns. It was police standing out there. You damn near dry snitching by screaming, saying that shit. So you basically implying that they got guns on them and it's police out there. All that shit. You know what I mean? It's like people sometimes can get too caught up in their appearance, their image. Because that's one thing that I do notice. That's something that I do notice since doing this media shit and doing interviews with a lot of people. I meet some cool people, but throughout all of it, it's all about image and ego, because that's what sells. You know what I'm saying? That's what sells, is that the fans believe in this artist and what they're saying. Because you know, a motherfucker ain't going to buy, I don't know, because that's a spinoff into another topic about Tekashi. I'm going to get back to that. But, you know, it's all about image and ego. I see that, like, they are willing to kill or get someone killed just to protect their image. You know what I'm saying? That's like what we were saying a little bit before about the whole thing about Choke No Joe. He been going hard on these topics for years and this and that, but I feel like people really don't say possibly what they could say about Choke or whatever, or they kind of just brush past and try to just let him talk his shit and go away. Hopefully he just go away. Because when you dealing with a cameraman or a journalist or someone that's been around y'all for years and like months, years and stuff with that camera, you never know what footage this nigga may have on you or information, you know, what he got on you that could fuck around and crush your shit.
You yeah. know, but,
man, long story.
I noticed that.
Yeah. Cause it's been the same shit. It's like these same stories come out, the fight in London, this and that, all this shit come out. And then it's like, okay, I die down from hearing from Choke. I won't hear his name for, you know, 6 months, a year or something. But then when I do see him resurface again, it's basically on this same type of time. Now, I don't know if it's things that's going on behind the scenes that may trigger him to get back into that mold. Only advice I would give, is I don't have no problem with that dude. One, I don't have no problem with nobody that's from the media side to the artist, dancer, A&R. I don't have a problem with nobody because I don't know none of these niggas personally. I'm not one of these other dudes that's in this shit that be trying to start beefs with other creators or people involved in the industry just because. I wish everybody well, you know, even to the fake nigga, because if you're doing well, maybe you won't be worried about trying to fuck up somebody else's shit.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, but with Choke, the only thing I would suggest to him is if he's going to periodically come back and talk about these things, I would have some content in the stash. I would have not content on the people he's talking about, but I would have it like during that time where he disappeared for 6-8 months or a year, during that time, put together a movie or put together a documentary. And then when you do come out, at least. You know, I ain't into the gimmicks, but at least when you come back out and do all this, you got something productive that you could bring to the table too. At least, you know what I'm saying? If you're going to gain all that traffic, drive that traffic to something productive, because you call yourself the legendary director, this and that. Show people that you the legendary director. Like, prove that with your work, not by your words. Because it is, to me, it really is a thing called blackballing. You know, it seemed like the motherfuckers that are the gatekeepers in the game, always the ones that try to act like oblivious and naive to, what is gatekeeping? What is that? I don't really know if that's even true. No, nigga, because you were part of that shit. You know what I mean? That shit really happens. If you rub some of the wrong motherfuckers wrong, they will go out their way to make phone calls, emails, and do shit to keep you out the game.
With Choke No Joke, I've been listening to him for a while, and he does talk about pretty much the same thing, Damon J. And it seems as though that they tolerate him. Like you said, he may have something in his stash. So he made some documentaries. He has footage. However, he doesn't lead with that. It's more along the lines of him just whatever Dame is doing, whatever Jay is doing, or anything with Rockefeller, he's being negative about it. Okay. But nobody's really saying anything. Either they're trying to ignore him, or like you said, they got something in the stash. And it's just weird to me, because most of the time when you have somebody saying something about another person, they address it and they like, yo, this need to stop, or I'm gonna come see you, or you got to answer for what you saying, you know. But they just letting him go.
It's damn near to the point of something was to happen to him. Shit, he done left so many cookie crumbs. Where if something was to happen, if something was to happen to him tomorrow, who everybody gonna be like? They're gonna be like, either Dame or Jay got this nigga up out of here. You know what I'm saying? Cause, and that's what happened with all that talking. And I feel like people know that when they doing that shit. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's so many situations. It's not that I want to get anybody in this, peers up out of here or no type of way like that. But it's so much shit that happens behind the scenes that I don't speak on and publicly, because it's for that reason. It's like, that's why I say I can just tell the people that come from a certain world or not, because you know the levels of the game, where if you know something could possibly go to a whole nother level, you're not even going to publicly put it out there, because you're like, hey, if something do happen, I don't want people to know. I want to be able to come back online and continue to make my blogs and do what I do, and motherfuckers not be able to say, oh, I wonder if Doc has something to do with such and such. You know what I mean? No, I'm just not going to address it. But other niggas, when they do all that shit, you basically dry snitching all within the same time of trying to talk shit about other people. Because then if something happened, you basically making them the number one suspects in the situation. So it's like a lose-lose. If you do address it, you giving that person more clout, especially if they don't have nothing going on. You basically just drop that, because it seemed like that's all they, not just Choke No Joke, but people that do these, some of the people that do these type of things, it's about getting attention. It seemed like they just really want to have a conversation with them, you know what I'm saying, and try to get past it. So they do things, they agitate, they push buttons and do things that hopefully this may spark that other person to pick up the phone and call them and be like, man, what's really going on? And then they know once they get on the phone, then try to dead the whole situation, you know what I mean? Because he was supposed to, he wasn't even on the fucking list to get to talking about him, but you know, talking about how the fans receive people in the image and all that stuff. Like, I really wonder with Tekashi 6ix9ine. I don't speak on dude often, and I don't have a whole lot to say about him right now, because from the get-go with Tekashi 6ix9ine, I swear, like, when he hit the scene and you had all the content creators probably making 50 videos about him a week, I was the only content creator that if it was 50 out of every 50 videos, I may put up one, because I seen what it was from the beginning. So by the time they all got taken down, it was no reason for me to even comment and talk about it then, because I'm like, now I'm just repeating myself and it's going to sound like I'm kicking a man while he down. Now, a snitch or rat, okay, maybe you deserve to get kicked while you down. But I'm just not into repeating myself. I don't like repeating myself. I felt like for my core audience, supporters, and people that fuck with me, that watched it, they heard what I said then. It's no reason to double back now a year later. Because now I feel like in their minds, they should see, hey, damn, Doc said this shit 8 months ago before it even happened. I seen it. I seen that, you know, Tekashi, you're like, bro, you not controlling these gorillas behind you. You just the mascot. You the dude on the strings. You the mascot. They playing you from the beginning. And that was my whole thing. I'm like, I'm hoping. If people go back to the videos, go back to the first 2, 3, 4 videos I made about Tekashi and really pay attention to the things that I'm saying. In my mind, before making those videos, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to word these things in a certain way where if he was to run across my videos, that maybe he could take something from it and look at his situation that he in. Because keep in mind at that time, he hadn't snitched yet. He hadn't rat yet. So even though he a grown man, I hated when people constantly kept calling that nigga, oh, he's just a kid. Nigga, he's over 18 and he has a kid. He's a fucking grown man. You know what I'm saying? He's a grown ass man. He may not be as grown as a mature or experienced as other people, but once you over 18 and you got a child, I put you in a grown man bracket and expect for you to act like a fucking grown man. But
not only is he has a child and he's over 18, he's talking that grown man shit too.
Right. You playing this role. I'm gonna tell you the moment where I threw my hands up and just, you know, shook my head. Like when the nigga was on the Breakfast Club, and it's some simple shit. It's some simple shit. When he was on the Breakfast Club, and I'm not no blood, but I know their terminology because I do know bloods. When he was on the Breakfast Club and he said, oh yeah, I just, his first interview. So go back to that date. And he was like, yeah, I just came home a year ago. In blood language, that means he just became a blood a year ago. So I'm like, so nigga, you 1 year in, and keep in mind, for anybody that's been in a gang or a clique or something of that nature,
you gotta put in that work.
Within that first year, you basically, they may call it something else in the levels of bloods, but I know like in GDs and stuff like that, you basically a foot soldier. You a foot soldier, which that could be slash crash dummy, you know what I'm saying, in hindsight, but you a foot soldier. So you basically doing a lot of things to try to prove to your OGs and superiors that you down for your set and stuff like that. So his behavior and mindset, because he's wanting approval from these niggas. He's the face. That was the odd twist that he was in, because he's the face of everything, because he's the artist and he's going viral and all that shit. So he's getting presented one way, but internally, psychologically, he's still trying to prove to them that he's really down for this flag. You know what I'm saying? But in return, these older niggas, they know how to play the game. So they know that. So they're using that to their advantage, because they see every time he do some crazy shit, it's bringing more traffic. And the traffic, he had his stuff business-wise, some of his business. When I talk about the internet, business-wise, he had his shit set up decent. That was another reason why I didn't do a lot of videos about him, or if I did, I didn't use any of his clips, because I seen early in the game, if you used any of his footage that came off his Instagram, he was partnered with a company. I don't know the name of the company, but there's other companies out there as well. Soulja Boy did the same thing. When Soulja Boy was beefing with Chris Brown, you remember that shit?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Whoever thought we would say Soulja Boy beefing with Chris Brown? You know what I'm saying? But when Soulja Boy was beefing with Chris Brown, that's when I learned the game then, because I used one of his videos in my video and wrapped the commentary around it. And it was a company called Music Choice came and flagged the video. Now they left the video up, but they still ran ads on it, and that company made money. So me, I'm not going to just let I'm not about to just allow anyone just to make money off my channel and not do my due diligence to find out if it's real or not, because there are fake companies on YouTube that come steal people money. So I emailed them, I end up getting a number to them, and I end up calling that company, and I just didn't inquire about Soulja Boy. I just inquired from another perspective to see what type of services they had and the services that they offer. If you was an influencer and you had over so many amount of people on your Twitter or on your Instagram or things like that, they can monetize your platforms for you, where if anybody use it on YouTube or on a service that provides monetary, you know, make money from it, basically, they will find your videos and make, you know, basically make the money for it. So I'm like, oh, okay, this is why. So even when Soulja Boy was doing all that crazy shit to Chris Brown, he was making money off of that. And that's why he kept throwing those videos out there, because he was getting paid off of that. So when Tekashi was doing that, And it only took for me one. I didn't know if he was up on game about it, but when I put up a video and seen a certain company come, I'm like, oh, okay, this is what he doing. And that's why I really didn't make a lot of videos, because in that moment, I seen say for instance, Tekashi, Shoddy, all them motherfuckers, they the record label. Most record labels, they have different departments, and you got a marketing department, marketing promotion department. Basically, all Tekashi and them was doing, they was using the bloggers as their marketing department. Okay, I make a crazy video, I put it on my Instagram, all the bloggers thirsty as hell, you got 100 bloggers grab the shit and they put it on their stuff, and 100,000 people see it here, 500,000 people see it here, a million people see it. You just did all the marketing and promotion for him, and he still made the money off of it, and you didn't make no money off of it. So I'm like, I'm not covering the nigga because I'm not stupid, you know what I mean? But I did try to put little things in there where I'm like, if he sees this, hopefully he can look at his surroundings. I'm looking at him as, even though I do look at him as grown, but I still was looking at him as naive, feeling lost, because he said he just came home a year ago, but it was pictures that surfaced of him in all blue flags prior to that. So he was trying to rep Crips when GS9 was hot. Then they get taken off the streets, and then you get around some bloods, and you just trying to be found, homie. You just trying to find someone that's going to accept you, and that's what it was. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, when it came to Tekashi, man, I knew about him, but I never heard his music. I always heard of his antics, and then I started hearing his music. It was like I was seeing more in the media than listening to his music. It wasn't that many people around me that was listening to it. Once he started, once he went to LA, that's when people around here really started listening to his music. Where I'm from, where I stay at. But you just saw the results of people being who they aren't, right? You saw the result of watching a fast rise and a slow fall. And it's
the fall was just as fast as the rise. It only popped for a year.
It only popped for a year, but we ain't even seen the results of the whole thing yet. That's the reason why I say it's slow. Supposedly, he's supposed to be getting out. Who knows? I don't really follow it. I already knew in March it was going to go dead. But you know, we heard about Shoddy. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, let that be a lesson to you guys out here thinking that y'all just gonna pop, that you could just say anything that you want to say and not have no and not be able to answer to it. Doc, you said whatever you say, you stand on foundation. You got to stand on that foundation. My version of that is you got to answer for what you say.
And that, it all mean the same thing.
It mean the same shit, yeah.
It's repercussions to every action. That repercussion don't necessarily mean it always got to be a negative repercussion, but there's always going to be some form of karma or something that comes from every action that a person makes. And when people get, you know, people come from nothing, barely can't put food on their plate that night, and some money start coming in, and they see, oh, damn, this is what sparked the attention of people. They get thirsty, and they start doing it. And you see the boom gangs of the world. I just be sitting back on Instagram seeing the shit that this, you know, and I can't even just say this generation because there's some older motherfuckers that's on social media doing crazy shit just for attention. And I'm like, if you don't have a long-term game, especially not just in Tekashi case, but just period, if you don't have a long-term game to what you're doing, where you doing all these crazy antics and then you do find a way to monetize it, you got to have a plan B. Like, okay, what are you going to transfer this money into? Because this is not going to last forever. But in that moment, they think it's going to last forever because they got the money coming in. They got females trying to fuck with them. They got the notoriety. You know, they getting the cars, this and that. They thinking it's going to last forever. But shit, nothing lasts forever. So you got to always have a plan B. But that's why I said, throughout them videos and even through everything that I still been saying now, like my OGs and people, they gave me game by, you know, break down the situation. They never was like, because a younger motherfucker do not want to be like sat down, like, how would you say that? Like a teacher student thing. It's like, you got to give them examples for them to see But the example got to be from point A through Z for them to see it all the way through. And that's all I was trying to do in them videos back then. Like, hopefully he would end up seeing it. But, you know, I knew it was going to happen, but it was no reason. And my whole thing about all of that with Tekashi is, this is where we're going to really see where the state of hip hop is at. And I'm not talking about the fans. And when I say the fans, his fans, because they was making tons of excuses throughout his whole situation right prior to him getting locked up. Oh, such and such, fuck this baby mama, such yeah. and such, whatever, all the excuses to basically say it's okay for him to snitch a rat. I'm not even talking about none of that. So exclude the fact, I'm talking about the actual culture. When I say the culture, I mean the radio stations, mm-hmm. the DJs, the clubs. What's going to happen when he come back home, and if he decides to drop a song? Are these content creators and bloggers still going to be reporting him, keep giving him marketing and promotion? Are these DJs still going to play his shit? You go to Angie Martinez, which I'm not, it's nothing against Angie at all, but if you watch her interviews, his signature still back there on the wall back there. They haven't even, you know what I'm saying? Like, is the culture, not the fans, but is the culture, the people within the machine, are they still going to mess with this nigga or not? And in my mind, I honestly feel like just seeing, talking about the outline of hip hop, we see where hip hop was back in the day to where it's at now. There's a lot of things in hip hop that was not acceptable. Not saying it's right or wrong, but it was acceptable back in the day. Who would have known? Tell me, being an 80s baby and being in 2019 right now, and I'm not saying it's nothing wrong, because I'm just in general, listening to Redman and Method Man, Wu-Tang, DJ Quicks, all that stuff back in the day, would you ever thought then that you would have openly gay artists in hip-hop?
Nah.
So, and with me saying that, I'm saying I've kind of feel like eventually we're going to have a openly rat in fucking hip-hop that's still going to be popping. And it's fucked up, and it's going to show where the end... it's going to show where hip-hop is at.
Hey, I'm gonna be real with you, man. Okay, first off, I'm gonna give you my views. I don't think hip hop should accept them, or I don't think hip hop is gonna accept them.
The culture,
all right. Period.
You talking about the fans?
The culture, okay, period. Okay. However, like you said, with all this shit going on, because you worded it well. You worded it very well. You never know. You never know, man. Because somebody got to get that exclusive. Somebody got to get that exclusive. So as soon as he come home, he got to do some type of interview. And then after that, he going to come out with some music probably. If he come out with some music.
Depending on whatever is going on behind the scenes, if Academic is going to be the first one in line to get that, you know, exclusive or not. Depending on if they relationship then got sour throughout this time, more than likely he'll probably be the one. But I don't even include academics in this side of journalism. You know what I'm saying? Like on my side of journalism, it's only like a few peers. It's maybe like four or five of us that concentrate on certain type of shit that go on in hip hop. You know what I'm saying? I can't tell another man or them to do what they do. I'm not going to be emailing his camp or staff looking for no fucking exclusive interview from that nigga when he come home. Especially if it's paperwork produced, you know, all that come out. No, it's no, I'm not giving a rat a platform to fucking have shit to say. It's nothing you can say. I was just faced in that situation not too long ago where a dude, some paperwork came out on a guy, and that guy camp reached out to me because he wanted to give his side of the story, and I spent that shit. No, it's not the paper. You can't argue with black and white on some shit where it's like some plain, like with Tekashi. No, I'm not, you know, that I couldn't, you know, I, me personally, that's And it's not, like I say, it's not to knock if someone else do it. If they choose to, that's cool with them. It's enough platforms out here for other people to go to. But just the brand that I have been building, the people that I know that I connect to, I'm talking about from DMs and phone calls and people that reach out, like names that I won't name, people that's major staples in different places that be like, hey, bro, we watching you. We salute the integrity that you keep behind your shit. You never disrespect the game. Like, even if I have, even if my opinion is not in someone's favor, I never do it in a malicious way. It's to the point, unless that person is just an irrational thinking person. Like, if you keep it real, me and 40 Glock cool. Me and 40 got cool now, but the first time me and him ever communicated with each other, because we got into it, because I made a video about him that wasn't in his favor, but I did not. I know the lines because I'm a man, and I come from not a game banging culture, but I come from the culture, so I know when you're crossing certain lines, and I don't cross those lines. So it's like, it's always room where a person like, well, you know, I feel you were just doing your job. And that be it. It would any time other than Whack 100, ho ass, that's the only time it's ever, that's the only time it's never been an opportunity to where it's like, to have, it's that dual brain, the way Whack 100 brain work. I don't even know how to explain. It's no gray area there with dude. He really feels like he's the modern day Suge Knight. You know what I'm saying? But everything that happened in that situation, and I'm not going to say homie name, but he told me it was going to happen before it even happened with Whack 100. Because once I interviewed a certain person that was super close to him, that really knew him and know him and know a ton of stuff about him that Whack 100 don't want to get out to the world, he like, Rack 100 gonna reach out to you. And he said, this is everything that's gonna happen. And it happened the way it did. That's why it's kind of funny now. But that's, you know, that it just, I don't know, you know, because I know it's new people that's listening to this podcast. And we cover things that's going on. It just, it's weird because it's a fine line of having a little bit of inside knowledge of things that be going on. And it's everything that you can't put out there, but I'm still going to give my honest opinion about things. But it's like, we can't allow, even though hip hop is supposed to have started off as the voice for the inner city and the poverty areas and this and that, we can't let the mentality that's within those, that type of area, because that type of mentality that's in those areas is designed for no one to make it and win. We can't let that fool mentality come over into hip hop. We can't let it happen, or it's going to swallow the whole pause. It's going to swallow the whole culture at some point in time. And this is one of the youngest genres. You know what I'm saying? We don't, this genre is bringing in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. It's feeding people. You know, it's people getting affected in a negative way too, but it's feeding a lot of people, a lot of families. It's opening up businesses. It's doing a lot of things for people if they utilize the culture in the right way. You know what I mean? And that's just my whole thing with keeping a balance. Everything gotta have balance. Nothing is never gonna be all kumbaya, and everything don't need to be all shoot 'em up, bang, bang. It has to be a balance and everything for people to get the full scope of what's really going on in life.
I feel you on that. And I stand on the foundation of hip hop, and I respect it, and it's important what you said about maintaining being faithful to the game and not being malicious or any of that. You know what I mean? Because it shows, you set the example on how to approach a situation. That's important. A lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people go on these podcasts and on these websites and get a whole bunch of exaggeration with no substance. It's important that we receive that when we're doing this. And hip hop is based on the streets, but it's also based on the message to keep people aware. That's what hip is, and hop is movement. So people need to recognize that.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. That's why, like, even that one recording when I was like, I would hope even just talking about the YouTube, and it's not, of course, not about me to go, you know, go to the next subject, that people would take. See, because it's always a method to the madness. It's always a method to the madness. But the same thing, I'm a quote Tupac, and then I'm gonna go to the next subject. A while back, he had an interview, and he damn near verbatim said, "In order for me to get the message to the people, to a certain demographic, not to everybody," he in his brain, in his mind, where what he was trying to complete and what he was trying to do, it's a certain targeted demographic he was trying to get a message to. But he said, in order for me to get that message to that demographic, I have to be of that demographic. And I'm just going to leave it there and for people to interpret that however they interpret that. But that was real. And you've seen none of his music. He had tons of gems in it, but none of his music was preachy, because that was going to push. He know the people that he's trying to speak to, and he know that angle is not going to get to them. You know what I'm saying? And not to say the super backpack rappers that are on that won't reach that demographic, but they won't reach that demographic on a larger scale. So it has to be a method to the madness, which they call putting the medicine in the candy. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't have that within themselves. Because I see a lot of, I'm talking about, it's a lot of YouTube pages. It's just because I've had so many bad experiences of dealing with other content creators that make it hard for me to try to embrace, not even embrace, but keep giving more people chances to do bullshit. But I be seeing some dudes that I see they got hell of substance in their shit, and I be wanting to reach out just to give them a couple tips on what they need to do so they can catch traffic. But sometimes you just gotta let people learn on their own, you know, learn on their own. Sometimes that's the best way for them to, so they can see, okay, maybe I need to change this, or maybe I need to do this and do that. Because no one wants to come and sit down for two, you know, no one in high school or whatever the case may be. Motherfuckers got short attention spans out here. You know what I mean? And if a person not getting some form of entertainment, but making sure you tuck those gems in it too, then they can leave out of it with something. But it's all about people approach. But that's the part that people be missing. Because even say when you watch it, you watch, this is just an example, not to say it's a good show or a bad show, but you can watch The State of the Culture. It's entertaining. They sit up there laughing and joking. They talking shit, but you still will get some information up out of that show as well. And that's how you reach a large group of people, by just not the people, not saying anything about Joe or any of them, just the chemistry of how it's set up. That's how you reach a large group of people. If they were all sitting up there, just dry face, no humor, no nothing at all, just talking to each other, that shit wouldn't get over 2,000-3,000 views. It wouldn't do it, because it's not going to catch the attention of people. You know what I'm saying? So people have to find their own niche and way, because you, even though you want to at least change one person's life, but if you could change 100,000 people's lives, which one is better? You know what I mean? But saying that is the same thing to, like, say what's been going on with Jay-Z. Now, we seen everything that's been going on with Jay-Z and the NFL shit from day one. From day one, mm-hmm. when he's talked, the NFL deal came out, I feel like about 80 to 90% backlash happened. You know? Mm-hmm. And I'll say out of that 80 or 90% backlash, I'll say about 40% of that backlash was just people that was bandwagoning, because that was the main narrative that was going on, people jumping on his ass. Pause about it, you know what I'm saying? And really, when it wasn't no information out yet, and it's still no information out there, like a ton of information out there. But it's one of them situations where it's damn if you do, you damn if you don't. Because about 3-4 days ago, I heard about, okay, yeah, they got up maybe $400,000 that they was going to send to Chicago public schools or send to some charities in Chicago. So I'm like, okay, so they going to have these shirts and other items or whatever that's going to be sold inside these NFL stadiums and different things connected to the NFL. And every penny of that supposed to start going to different communities and organizations and stuff to help. So I'm like, okay, that's dope. That's something you can't, to me, that's something you can't argue with. You can't be mad at. You're finding a way to come up with the money, because money is what's not the most important thing, but you need that when to obtain resources. You need that. Like, a lot of people not going out here just doing work for free. Even if you're talking about these communities, they behind on resources as far as they, if they need books, if they need laptops, if they even if you got books and laptops, you still need a nice put together area for people to be able to have an education in. You know what I'm saying? It takes money to get those things. So I'm like, okay, they sent $400,000 somewhere. Now you still getting backlash where people like, oh, okay, well, one of the charities that got some of the money is a place where a picture came to online showing a white lady cutting off this guy's dreads.
Yeah.
So like when you seen all that, right?
Yes, I seen it.
So when you seen just based on that picture, not going off the narrative that came with that picture, but when you seen that picture, what was your thoughts on that?
Well, first off, ain't nobody gonna let anyone cut their hair off without letting them cut their hair off. You know what I'm saying? I saw the video, and he let her cut his hair.
Because there was a reason behind it, right?
Exactly. He wanted to cut his hair off. Now, in certain areas, people have dreadlocks as religious or feel a certain way or normality of how they grew up. And in Chicago, I say about two. Everybody is. I know people I grew up with that have dreads, but in Chicago, 2003. Everybody was wearing dreads or growing out dreads, wanted to have dreads, you know, because that was a thing to do. That's what everybody was doing.
That's based around, you know, what type of culture that the people that was doing it.
Well, in Chicago?
Yes, in Chicago, yes.
Oh, that was gang exactly. culture.
So that's very important for people to hear so they can have some context to that picture. You know, but continue.
And he expressed that it was a form of growth because he came back and he said he made that choice. That was the second time he got his hair cut, because he got his hair cut 3 years ago. Same thing. But the thing about it is, first of all, ain't nobody going to cut anybody's hair without them letting him. Second of all, he's a part of something that he feels as though is making a positive change from where he came from. You know what I mean? And nobody's giving him or giving that place. I think it's called the Crash Club or something like that. They're not giving them the benefit of the doubt. It's the point that it's coming from Jay-Z or it's affiliated with Jay-Z. And they're using dreadlocks and they're using her being white and him as being
a whole
black.
Bunch of surface level things. To create it
that has nothing to do. Yeah, exactly.
To me that shows the difference. People got to stop just looking at headlines and stop looking. And unfortunately, if people don't know by now, I don't want to say majority, but it's a lot of dumbass people out here. And when I say that, because people use the word, and it's a conversation. My homie we just talked about yesterday, Mr. Finance, you know, it's an interview coming with him. We'll be going to be talking about wealth, money, credit, and different things of that nature coming on. But we was talking about how we use the word smart too loosely when talking about people. Because I was giving an example of some individuals saying, yeah, they smart, this and that, but you know, it's hard to get them to do this, that, and the other. Then he was like, well, to me, they not smart then. If they smart and this is an alley-oop that you trying to give these individuals and they don't want to do it or they giving resistance, this and that, they must not be smart then. And it's like, that's real. You know, that's real. But you have a lot of surface level thinking because people are controlled not only by narratives, but because, you know, everybody is not the same. Everything in one place is not the same representation in another place. That's why I'm glad, as you said, that, you know, dreads to some people, a lot of people initially dreads was like Rastafarian, which came with something else, mm-hmm. a whole nother meaning behind it that I'm not even 100% hipped on. But then it also became a trend. But definitely in Chicago, those dreads and that look and all that stuff came with the gang culture. So him sitting down doing that, like you said, it was representing like me releasing myself from that world, going into another world. You know what I'm saying? My starting with his appearance and everything. But if you just see a picture with all the racial tension that's going on in America right now between black and white, you just see a picture of a white lady cutting them. Which, yes, I'm not going to deny that. Yes, there have been situations where it's different schools out here. I've heard them and seen the cases where I've heard parents complain, like, yeah, the students or the staff, you know, the teachers or the staff telling kids like, oh, y'all can't have these type of hairstyles and all that. Yes, now that is discrimination and all, you know, everything that fall in that category. But I think because of those type of circumstances hitting the airways before, then with all the racial tension and everything, seeing that picture of that, people took it the wrong way. But now I don't want to miss the fact that it was something else that's supposed to have happened. Where they either dug up some other tweets about, I guess that same charity has said something about Donald Trump, but not in a negative way. Like, we need Donald Trump. Now, I don't want to speak fully on that tweet because I don't have it right here in front of me right now. But I would want to know the context, you know what I mean, behind that tweet. Were they saying it as we need Donald Trump's help as, okay, yeah, we support it, we voted for him, so we need his help? Or were they just saying it like, if it was any president in the office, like, hey, Obama, hey, Trump, hey, Reagan, whatever, hey, look at what's going on over here in Chicago, we need your help type thing? I don't know. And that's why people can't just look at things from surface level. They really got to dig into things and get context. They got to get what's really going on. That's why I say it's not about what people say, it's why people say it. It's not about what people do, it's why they do it. You know what I'm saying? And then you can get a better understanding of the whole totality of a situation. And you just got too many people that just at one glimpse look at something and they use their own personal experiences in life to make a judgment on someone else's situation, or they just go by what the narrative of everybody online is saying. And a lot of people And a lot of people online are just following what other people are saying.
Because it's funny to me. You see it. You see the picture. And it's like, oh, man. It's so many people going to eat this up. You can't even take it for face value, man. You can't even take it for face value. I bet nobody did any research on the people that's doing this, that did this. They do boxing, they do studio, they do all of this stuff in Chicago, man, and they do it for the inner city, and it's making a change for the city. They're trying to make change for the city, and it's like they just see the picture and they know that it's Jay-Z has something to do with it. And like you said, everybody's personalizing it and seeing it from their point of view and creating stories. Because it's like, when you see it, it's like, oh man. Like, people can take it the wrong way. But
yeah, their name is Crushers Club.
Yeah, Crushers Club. Crushers Club. So but I go back, I try to keep it simple as possible. Ain't no young man gonna let nobody cut their hair.
He wasn't fighting, you know, it. He actually had like a smile on his face.
He was smiling, he was happy. And then he made a Twitter clips via the Crushers Club Twitter saying, listen, I did this 3 years ago. I wanted my hair cut. I don't want to make mistakes anymore. I don't want to be seen as a gangbanger no more. And then Crushers Club trying to be politically correct, apologizing and all of this because they don't want to look bad. Right. And people bringing up old tweets talking about Trump but have no substance to it. You know what I'm saying? Just because you vote a certain way or you're a certain religion or the way that you look don't necessarily mean you're not out for peace and justice for all and trying to better a situation, because they're in Chicago trying to do something better. So what is the problem here?
Right.
You know what
I
mean?
Because if that's the case, going back to what Dave Chappelle said, in the society that we live in right now, you can't do shit right. You know what? We live in a society right now where we're almost to the point where we could never even have another Martin Luther King or another Malcolm X or someone like that. Because if, say, for instance, if you take whoever name that pop in your mind right now that you feel like the person that you see right now that's spitting a lot of game, you know, positive wisdom, knowledge, empowerment, this and that, soon as he gets so big, you're going to have someone that's going to dig. And no one is perfect. Even the motherfuckers that's within the cancel culture, no one within the cancel culture is perfect. It's like it's always trying to find something. But like you said, Jay-Z already getting backlash. So any move that's made that's positive. And my thing is, I want to start seeing directly where these issues, like this backlash, originates from. I want to start seeing that, because I want to see if this is even a I don't want to say a ploy, but some other shit. You know what I'm saying? Like how they said with the Donald Trump and him being the president, and how Russia, a part of what they did was have a whole bunch of bots on social media accounts start creating narratives and trending narratives online, and people, you know, when they see things trending and they see it so often, they start to believe it's true and they start falling into it. Because when Bernie Sanders was running, the only thing that stopped, I ain't gonna say the only, but one of the major things that stopped Bernie from winning was because of his age. You just start seeing a ton of fucking memes about his age, and then niggas like, oh, I ain't fucking with him, he probably ain't even gonna live the 4 years. But they didn't listen to one policy was talking about, not everybody, but most people. And I want to start seeing when these situations happen to find the common denominator. Like, where did this backlash, like, who was the first person or first group of people that started? Because I want to start seeing who are they? Were they, was this originally black people? Was this just an egg account that didn't have no picture of someone that posted some shit and started this fucking narrative and this and that? To see where all this starts at. Because it's like, if you're trying to do good, nothing is never going to be perfect. So it's like, basically, so I don't know. It just always, but I can understand. I'm not agreeing with it, but I can understand. Like, yeah, you see that picture, you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, that's about to tear this up.
Yeah. You might as well put a watermelon in a motherfucking chicken sandwich in that nigga hand right now. You know, and have her with a whip behind her motherfucking chin.
I was thinking the same shit. I was like, ooh, you know the fuck? And she happy. He just chilling. He like, yeah. She like, yes.
Right, you nigga.
I'm like, no.
Yeah. You know, like, damn.
And you like, you can't do anything wrong. It's like you can't do no right. You can't win for losing. It's like, you see two kids playing, and it's like, where they mama at? Who taking the picture, man? Who doing the video? Like, what are you talking about? Like, come on, y'all. It's like,
let some shit play through. Like, let things go all the way through, because you will get people to the point where they don't even want to try to do shit to help nobody if y'all gonna constantly keep nitpicking a motherfucker to death. It's like, damn.
And that's what's gonna happen, man. That is what's gonna happen. It's gonna be motherfuckers like, oh, I thought you were this. No, I ain't giving nothing. Because I'd rather be the person that don't do nothing for nobody than a person to do something and then you
get crucified.
Forget all of that.
Like, who want to deal with that? Like, that's mental health issues you got to deal with. You got thousands and thousands of people tweeting at you this and that. You go out, people, you know what I'm saying? Don't nobody want to live with. Like, let something go through and see if it positively impact. Talk to the kids there. Before trying to start some, talk to the people where the money, the actual kids and community is supposed to help. Go speak to them and say, hey, did that money help y'all in any time? If it did and it helped us something, be happy. But everything else, like, God, it just, and that's just something that, you know, it's, but that's just the world that we live in. That's the, you know, the type of brains, the type of brains that have developed, you know. Don't nobody really, not nobody, but you know, a lot of motherfuckers don't want to see people succeed. People don't want to see people happy. No, none of that, because all it does is mirror and it mirrors their failures. When they see someone else coming up or they see something good happening, it reminds them of their failures and the things that they got negatively going on in their life and their environment. So they're quick to try to tear other shit down, you know, but I'm trying to see what this guy said because it was a message from Kobe. Hold on for 1 second. Let me see.
Yeah, that's the one I was saying.
Come out here like 3 years ago. That's something I wanted to do because I was tired of it. Tired of game banging, tired of messing up. Now I'm a changed young man. Trying to see bigger and better dreams.
That's the
one. You know what I mean? So before even getting directly to him to find out, it's like you got thousands and thousands of people setting the narrative on his life and his situation without knowing. But that's the thing. When you got media publications, when you got people out here that's not from the culture, and this is a great segue to the Griselda and the dude from, you know, that situation. But when you got media publications and you got people not from a certain culture speaking on shit that they don't know about, they're going to easily misinterpret stuff. They're going to easily. To me, it was simple math when I seen the picture of, you know what I mean? Yes, it do look fucked up. You got this. Even she kind of looked crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? Who? Like, I understand.
It was hilarious.
You know what I mean? I understand it. It do look. But me knowing Chicago and me knowing the Chief Keefs of Chicago and the dreads and how it reflects certain stuff, you know, because even Hoover, when after he got locked out, he grew out his dreads. And from that time period, a lot of, and I'm not saying he influenced all the sets, but that just became something they started doing. When I seen that, I automatically, before even hearing that video right then, that's my first time hearing that, what it represented. But if you got a motherfucker that's not from the culture, that don't know nothing about half of nothing, looking at that picture, they're going to automatically go off of just the narrative of the narrative of America. And that's why I hate that shit, you know, because it be, you know, it literally be some people online that's from an area where, and I'm not saying it's you know, it's no racism. It's racism in every single inch of America. But they lifestyle and upbringing, they may have never even faced any racism, been through any of that stuff. But they know that's the popular thing to chant and talk about because it's going to get them hella retweets and hella likes. It's going to make them sound smart. Everybody want to seem woke. Oh, I'm woke. Then, you know what I'm saying? Now that puts you in a group, maybe you get some pussy off of being woke. You knock you down. You know what I'm saying? It'd be a whole bunch of fake race baiting shit out here and people can't fall for it all the time. You know, like I automatically knew that when I seen the dread shit, but me saying the publications and not having a connection. You know, what's the dude name that was speaking on Buffalo? What's the guy named Shannon?
Shannon Sharp, man.
Yeah, I didn't dig too deep into that situation, but I seen Westside Gunn responded back to him, and they kind of had a, you know, a little back and forth. Like, what really went on with that?
So, you know, Shannon Sharp has a show with Skip Bayless, and they were going back and forth. And they were talking about Buffalo, and then they started talking about rappers, and they were saying no real rappers come from out of Buffalo. And this is on their show, you know what I'm saying? So, Benny, I think it was Benny and Westside, were tweeting like, yo, like, we out of Buffalo, pretty much. And Shannon's like, the only thing I know that's out of Buffalo is the Bills and maybe some chicken wings. Yeah. So, you know, again, Benny started going, just talking like, yo, like, hey, so we here, we doing our thing. You basically got to see, know us and know who we are. You know, it's one thing for somebody to say something and not know. And then you let them know. And then they like, all right, man, my right. bad. You got it. It's all good. It's another thing to just, yeah, you can stand on what you're saying, but if you really a man, just say you was wrong. I ain't know y'all. My bad. Well, I know now. You know what I mean? Because it was basically Shannon Sharp jumped out the window, man. He jumped out the window with his cape on and his mask on and what, nothing at the bottom but spikes, broken bottles, and trash cans. You know what I'm right. saying? He did a blank man and fell on all that shit. And, you know, it's one thing, like I said before, to admit that you wrong, or just be like, yo, my bad, you know, because a simple my bad, that could clear up a lot of stuff. But he just kept going with it. So, and it is what it is, man.
He should have did some quick, because in that, I'm going to try to put myself in both shoes. Like, within that moment, because at any point in time, that's like, I could sit up here and say, ain't no rappers coming up out of Minnesota. And then someone can tweet me from Minnesota, like, I'm popping. This could be a nobody still just because he's saying that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he still could be a nobody. His own city don't know him. You know what I mean? Or whatever the case may be. I'm going to be fair, though. Even though I rock with Griselda and this and that, I rock with them. I know about them. My peers, the people I fuck with, know about them. They're not mainstream, you know what I'm saying, to where like everybody know about them. But it still was a lack of a disconnect to the culture there. And like you said, as far as him just, he should have just did a little due diligence instead of allowing his ego and pride to just get into a tweet match back and forth. He should have just paused for a second, possibly even just clicked on they shit. I don't know if he did or did not, but click on it. Like, okay, 70, 80,000 people following. Maybe they are doing something. Or Google them. Look at their name. Go Google them real quick. Do something before going back and forth and making yourself. Because basically, I just started seeing a lot of people say, oh, you detached from the culture. You don't know this and that. But my thing is, even within the culture, I'm pretty sure it's still like, everybody may not know who Currency is. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's different people that's successful as hell in what they do and have their cult followings and making plenty of money and making hella noise, but everybody don't know. In all fairness, Buffalo is not a place that we think of when it comes to rap. That's fair, but yes, they are breaking that wall down and doing what they doing. And the further they progress and keep expanding, they're going to change that narrative about it. But you know, egos, men, you know, Shannon, he slick tongue talking this shit. Then you talking to some street niggas. They, you know, like, hold on now. You know, you ain't just going to diss it. You know, it was funny to me just to see it happen, you know. But it like I say, when you have people that's not a fully 100% connected to something and they speak on some shit that they don't know about, it could make you look like a fool.
Yeah, because when I saw it, I was like, ooh, like, You don't really know what he don't know what he's saying, y'all. You know what I'm saying? You gotta turn around. You gotta speak for him, you know what I mean? That's the type of moment I saw when I heard them talking about it. Like, he doesn't know. Okay, yeah, you in a certain position, you might not. That might not even be your preference. You might not even listen to rap after 2005. I don't know. You know what I mean? So, and then when the Griselda guys started to say something, it was more along the lines of, hey, yo, like, it was like, hey, man, like, it's not like that. Like, we out here, we from Buffalo. And then he's like, well, the only thing I know is this, that, and other.
That right there with the trigger. Yeah.
Yeah, that right there was like, well, yeah, you didn't fuck it up. I'm gonna step away from this.
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, he don't really know what he's talking about. Don't, ain't no reason to go too crazy on them.
They're on that verge of where I feel like it's going to get to that point where if a person do consider themselves a hip hop head, that you better know about them. But I I'm only speaking for me, just trying to be fair, because like it was maybe a couple years ago. I think whenever they first signed to Shady Records, not only my homeboy C brought them up to me, but it was someone before that was just on my YouTube channel that just was constantly leaving messages. Like, and I'm assuming that person may have been from Buffalo and was like, hey, you ever heard of these guys? I don't even know if Benny was rapping then. You know what I mean? Because I'm trying to think what Westside and not Benny, what, and Conway.
Conway. Yeah.
You know, when it was mainly like them two or whatever the case may be, someone, but I hadn't went and checked on their music yet. Because I get so many names and so many people DMing me and emailing me music and saying they popping and this and that. The way I funnel music, it has to come through a certain way where then I know that it's good by the time that it gets to me. Because I don't have a time to be trying to listen to everybody's shit, because a lot of the shit do be whack. But yeah, you know, honest, even personally for Shannon, and through his lens, he could be like, yeah, Buffalo's not known for that. Even through my lens, I may, even with me knowing about Griselda, I still just wouldn't say Buffalo is known for rappers. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like that's a false statement, but once someone reached out to him, I felt like he should have did his due diligence before shooting that tweet right back out at him, because now that just threw fuel on the fire for it to keep going to even make it a fucking headline now. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. It's you know, the culture, it be so much. It's always going to be something going on, because with hip-hop being the most influential thing that's going on in the culture right now, man. But I do want to give someone, I want to give this guy a shout out real quick. He left a message on Apple. And I tell you guys, if you leave a message, a review on there, I'm going to give you guys a shout out. But it's a gentleman, I'm assuming it's a gentleman, his name Mickey Kane. Now, he said, he left a 5-star rating, so salute to you for that. But he said, Doc Hicks has been my favorite, has been a favorite of mine since I watched him on YouTube. He covers plenty of wide range of topics with observant precision and logical points on, you know, points. He had a number of informative interviews and discussions on subjects that I can relate to and identify with. Now I can hear a full podcast with no ads. I can understand that he's not making as many YouTube videos, but I think that community is starting to become toxic. And wasn't we just talking about that? This is something like literally while we've been doing this podcast right here, I just flicked through and was looking at my thing and end up seeing this new comment come up. He said, this podcast is more relaxed. Hold on. This podcast is more relaxed, and I play it when I'm in the car on my way home from work. I only listen to a few podcasts, and this is one of the top three easily. So salute to him. And it's just crazy, like, great minds and stuff must think alike, because we literally, while this recording, was talking about just the, you know, the toxic behavior and everything that's going on at YouTube. And it's a shame. I'm not going to let the toxic shit win by just pushing me out the game, because it's going to be people that's going to be, I can name, which I'm not, but it's 2-3 motherfuckers I know that's going to be like, oh yeah, fight this nigga, doggone. You know what I'm saying? We can do what we do type thing. Because it's a few motherfuckers over there. They don't say it, but they do little. If people really, really just start paying attention to shit, y'all may be able to see it. But it's about 2-3 motherfuckers that be on some bullshit. But it do be irritating. It's whack to me, really. It's really whack, you know, and it just makes me look at these dudes' character as a man, especially by how they represent themselves to their fan base. It lets me know, like, man, it's not, but I don't want to, but I appreciate that. And pretty much to wrap this whole podcast up, you know, for anybody that leaves a 5-star rating in a review, you definitely get a shout out and, you know, your own special shout out. And I greatly appreciate it, man. If there's any last things that you want to say before we get up out of here, you got the floor, bro.
Pretty much, just support the podcast, man. It's well appreciated. You know, Doc gonna continue to do what he does and maintain the real. And I'm just happy to be on the podcast. You know, I appreciate it.
Word. Peace.